Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So looking forward to today's show. My dear friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan, joins me today to talk about health and the healing process. And we're going to get her on in just a moment. I want you to know we're ready to take your questions now. If you have questions on health and the healing process, go ahead, text them in to 877-933-2484. Also, to kick off our conversation, we're going to make the connection that I think is a very real connection between your purpose and your health. You know, when you don't have a sense of purpose, you may be less apt to contend for better health, for wholeness, for the inner healing that you might need. And we're going to visit this passage a little bit later in the show, but without a vision, scripture says, the people cast off restraint. But when you have a sense of purpose, you're going to fight for it because you're like, I got things to do. And you're going to get up and there's going to be obstacles in your way, but you're going to contend and you're going to move forward because you're going to trust God to make a way where there is no way. So I have a question for you. It's twofold. And you know, it's like my love language when you text in, because I know you're there. I can just get a sense of where you're at in your journey. So I'm really asking you to engage with me on this, okay? It's a twofold question. What do you sense is your purpose? And what's your greatest health challenge right now? What do you sense is your purpose, your God-given calling, at least in this season of life? And what is your greatest health challenge right now? Here's the number. Text me now, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Dr. Jill Carnahan is fast becoming a world-renowned expert in the area of mold toxicity as well as other autoimmune issues. She's both an MD and a functional med doc, and she's an expert in health and the healing process. She's a woman of God, and she's my friend. Dr. Jill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Susie. So excited to be here with you again today.
Yep, looking forward to our conversation. And I don't know if our friends even know how full your plate is. So I just want to say you've got a full plate, and that you would make time for us means so much to us. So thank you for giving us a slice of your time today.
You're welcome. It's a joy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know this. You've been on plenty of times. We like to start by just making it personal. What is the Lord talking to you about these days? What's He impressing upon your heart?
Yeah, and Susie, just like our great God, the thing that He gave me today to share is going to align so deeply with what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to read just a couple verses from Romans 12 from the New Living. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, taking delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality.
Boy, that's beautiful.
Unpacking. It reminds me of our purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, oh, that's not the purpose. I don't know what
yeah.
it is.
Oh. Yeah. Very good. I love God's word so much. There's so much there. You could probably take a line a day and just ponder it for a while. Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to talk about the connection between having a sense of purpose and a willingness to fight for your health. As I mentioned, the passage of scripture, without a vision, people cast off restraint. But like when you have something to live for, you actually have something to fight for. And I would love to know first, you know, when God really revealed His call on your life, and then, you know, how you had to contend, because in the very area of your obvious calling, you've also been, that's the area the enemy's most attacked you. So speak to that if you would.
Yes, and I get emotional because our God is so good, and sometimes the most difficult times and the most deepest suffering is preparing us for that path that He calls us to. And I am just so grateful because I have been through a lot, but every single moment God's presence is there and He strengthens my purpose and calling. It started at 25 when I had an aggressive diagnosis of a very aggressive cancer. And I remember just very shortly into my diagnosis, you know, now people see me, I'm vibrant and healthy and I love life. And back then I did too, but I was facing an absolute life-threatening diagnosis. And Susie, I didn't know if I had 6 weeks to live or 6 months or 6 years. And so in that moment, I had to completely trust that God had a plan. And I remember He gave me a verse from John, and it was, after Lazarus died, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. And, you know, we all remember those times in our life when God speaks so clearly that our, like for me, it was a shot to the heart. And I knew that instant, number one, he was going to save me through this cancer, like I was going to live. And number two, I didn't understand it at 25, but I knew that this experience was training me for what he had for my life. Mm. And I took that purpose and that hope that he had meaning in the suffering, and I've carried that with me my whole life. And what happened is since then, I've learned God's way with me is to experience lots of illness, lots of suffering, but through every single challenge, I learned so deeply and so profoundly how to help and heal others. And I now literally embrace and welcome the challenges because I'm like, okay, God, here we go again. It's another chapter. It's another lesson. And I'm getting choked up just because it's difficult. And I've been through some horrific things, but every moment God is with me. And I would never have the platform or the ability to impact thousands of people without those situations and those stories. They've given me the purpose that God had all along for my life.
Hmm. It's just amazing because I think about, you know, he did give you a brilliant intellect. And if you just had that apart from the suffering, you would have gone on and done some pretty amazing things. But when you marry the suffering and how God met you there and you prevailed, what you have is this brilliant mind and this unbelievable empathetic and compassionate heart, which is to me, it's the healing balm, you know, of the Lord, because it was his compassion that moved him to heal people. And, you know, we've all met people who feel impatient by your suffering or impatient or irritated because they don't understand it. So they explain it away. But I feel like you lead with compassion, Jill. And I just think, you know, I hate what you've walked through, but I'm so grateful for the greater good that you've allowed God to work in and through you. And would you say it's more often than not that the calling is very connected to those deepest places of struggle?
I think it absolutely is. And when we deny the struggle or when we want to jump out of the fire too quickly, we lose the deepest, most profound lessons. And I've always said, and now that I've talked to other survivors of cancer and other difficult illness, those times when we're in the deepest, darkest hour of our physical health are the times when we're closest to God. And even though now I love Jesus and he's right by my side every day, I sometimes remember those times and they're literally, there's no closer time when you're facing the uncertainty of possible death. And God's nearness, that is such a huge blessing during this time. Like, I wouldn't trade them for anything.
That's why so good. I see some people texting in, talking about their calling and their greatest health challenge. So I'll read a few of those in just a moment. But I want you to think about or talk about, if you would, how easy it is. And I'm speaking from experience as well. So there's no condemnation here. It's just an observation I've made in my own struggles, how easy it is to make an idol out of relief. And I think in Western medicine, we've made an idol out of relief where we want relief more than anything. And I'm thinking of Esau in the Old Testament where he gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup. He was basically playing the short game, not the long game. His immediate need for comfort overshadowed his vision, his long-term vision for the future. And I would say sometimes we pay a price for relief that costs us far too much in the end, you know, which results in overindulgence, addiction, even over-medicating at times. So if you would say a word about, I will tell you, there's times when God has brought relief. I'm just weeping in gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you that the symptoms have waned. But if our goal is just relief and not God's purposes and glory being fulfilled in us, we miss something so big. So I just love your thoughts on that.
Oh, it's so true, Susie. And you know what I think of as just a really practical thing in the news lately is ibuprofen. We've all used Advil, Motrin, ibuprofen, Aleve, all those kinds of anti-inflammatories for an ache or pain or thing. And the studies are just coming out now that blocking of that inflammatory pathway may actually lead to more long-term pain and consequences. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have aspirin or Advil once in a while, but what we're finding is even in a really practical medical way, what you're saying to be a deeper spiritual truth is actually valid in that these things that cover up the inflammatory response, like truly that inflammatory response is part of the healing. So that pain that sometimes we go through is actually our body trying to heal itself. So on a very real physical level, this is true, as well as a spiritual level. And like I said in my own story, those deepest, darkest times of pain were the times when God's nearness and presence I wouldn't trade for anything. And the blessings that came through that were so profound. So it is, I don't want anyone to live in pain, and suffering is real. So if you're out there suffering, my heart has so much compassion for you. But there is something powerful that happens that nothing else can be, an alternative to than those places where we walk through suffering with Him right by our side.
Oh, it's so true. And that I again want to reiterate what Dr. Jill said, and that God has so much compassion for us. But I think we do know at times when we're running toward relief because that's all we can think about. And, you know, you think about even the suicide rate and how the enemy will convince people, if you want relief right now, you know, end it now, and not thinking long term. And he's got them convinced there is no hope. But you know what, friends, there's always hope. And so, you know, if you're in that mode right now and you're maybe even tempted towards decisions for an immediate relief, but with a long term price tag, I'm asking the Lord to lift your chin, to give some supernatural relief from what you're battling with, but a long-term solution so that your health and long-term and your purpose can be fulfilled by God Himself. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I'm going to read some of these texts and have Dr. Jill speak to them. I also welcome your health and healing questions because Dr. Jill's here to answer them. Dr. Jill Carnahan's my guest today. Here's the number if you want to text in. My twofold question is, what is your sense of your God-given purpose in this particular season, and what's your greatest health challenge? You can text me to 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. So do you listen to Susie Larson Live often? I sure hope you do. And if you do, I could use your help. Consider becoming a Faith Radio ambassador today and get the word out, not only about my show, but all the other great shows that we air on Faith Radio. You'll get everything you need to share the good news. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I pray for your healing. The circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus. Amen and amen. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, my friend. Dr. Jill Carnahan joins me on the show every month in spite of her very busy schedule. She's both an MD and a functional med doctor. She is a top expert in mold toxicity, Lyme disease, and other autoimmune issues. You can find her, like, if you look on YouTube. She also does a lot of Facebook Lives, but there's so much content out there from Dr. Jill. And also she writes an incredible, like an e-newsletter that you can subscribe to, really great blog posts. And then she's got an amazing store of trusted supplements. So there's a lot that she offers that you can check out if you like. But I was wanting to connect today our sense of purpose and our sense of health, because the enemy, if he can go after our sense of purpose, he can go after any motivation we have to fight for better health. But there's always something all of us can do. But when you have a sense of, I've got stuff to do, that's really what's kept me fighting all of these years, as I've known in my knower that God has things for me to do. So I'm going to fight, and I'm going to keep fighting. But if you've lost a sense of purpose, we want to pray for you today, because God has, if you have air in your lungs, God has a purpose for your life. And so my twofold question is, what is your God-given call? What do you sense it is this season? And what's your biggest health challenge? I'm going to read some of these and have Dr. Jill speak to them. All right, Dr. Jill here, this dear one says, I was diagnosed by a functional doc with mold toxicity and Lyme, but my medical doctor says, no, they don't agree. Who do I listen to? I have orthostatic hypotension, dystonomia, I think I'm saying that right, the jitters, and tinnitus. The functional doctor believes mold toxicity and Lyme are the cause of these. What say you?
Oh, boy, dear listener, I'm sorry you're stuck in this conundrum that's so common, because conventional medicine, I was trained in it, so I think I can speak to it. There's just a limit to the ways that they look at a diagnosis. So, for example, chronic fatigue, they're going to come to a conclusion that you've had fatigue more often than not for 6 months or more and label it, and then that's the end of the road because they have a diagnosis. There's not a lot of thought of why did that happen and what's the underlying root cause. So with functional medicine, we go deeper and we just ask the question, why? Why does this happen? What might be contributing? And as you mentioned, many times at the root of something like the ringing of the ears, the dysautonomia, the POTS syndrome is an underlying infection or toxic exposure, which in your case might be Lyme or mold. It sounds very plausible. The problem is, again, your conventional doctor probably wants the best for you and is doing the very best he or she can, but they may not be trained to really look at the root cause. So if you want to find relief, you have a couple options. Most medical, you know, conventional doctors will give you medication to maybe control symptoms, but they won't really try to find the root and fix it. The functional doctor will be trying to find root cause and fix it. And I would suggest, if it seems reasonable as far as cost and all of those things for you, to go down that path, because often you can find a disease that is said to be incurable and you find relief or a cure because you've gone to the root of the problem.
Hmm. All right. This dear one says, hey, Dr. Jill, my biggest health challenge right now is patience. Patience and knowing how to support my husband in his chronic health situation and waiting, hoping, praying for him to find motivation to make the changes to adjust daily habits and the ability and the effort to take the steps to do the things that only he can. I'm interested, Dr. Jill, where did you find motivation, inspiration, the gumption to do the things that you needed to do when you're in the dark places, but you knew that they were good for you? Where did you find the gumption to do that? What do you say?
Oh, boy, I can hear your heart so much. You want so bad for your loved ones to find the healing and the peace and the things that maybe you have found or that you see is possible. And you know what I've found through, you know, very, especially usually close people to us, you know, partners or family members or children or parents, you can never do the work for them. And as bad as we want to and as much as we love them, they have to make the change and they have to want the change. And I've learned it's actually easier just to model. But if we start to, you know, speak into their lives or tell them what they should or shouldn't do, it never goes very well. And I'm just speaking from experience. So I feel like in this situation with him being so close, someone else may need to speak into his life, or maybe you just model the behavior and you pray, but you allow him to decide when and if he wants to change. And the truth is, he may never decide he wants to change. And for you to choose to love him in that state where he is, that's actually the whole, I think of it like a capsule or a place where we give them unconditional love and allow them to change, but we don't force or demand it. And that's the place where the change usually happens. But believe me, when we love someone, we want them so bad to experience health and healing. And I think for right now, it's just prayer and modeling and letting him be where he needs to be and then hopefully find the motivation.
Yeah, prayer and modeling, those are amazing things you can do. Whenever you hear someone say, there's nothing I can do, those are two things you always can do, prayer and modeling it. And, you know, so often I've, you know, after being in radio as many years as I've been, how many stories I've heard of someone who is in the dark and the other person quit trying to force them out of the darkness and just started to camp in the light. And that person in the darkness started to see the contrast between the darkness and the light, to going, I want that, you know. And so modeling and prayer. Don't underestimate the power of those two things. What great advice. This dear one says, my purpose, no specifics, but as a wife and a mom and a foster mom, to honor God in any way, circumstance he calls me to. That's a pretty big purpose. Health challenge, burnout, emotionally and physically. Any advice for this dear one?
Oh, yes. A book by a beautiful author that you've had on your show, Susie Jan Allende, talks about the orphan, the stranger, and the widow. And if you haven't read his book, I highly recommend it.
Oh, Dan Allender is what you mean. Dan Allender, yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dan Allender, and Redeeming Heartache is his book. And again, listen to that episode with Susie. It's amazing. But what I was going to share, that book was such a way, it put into words some of the thoughts and things that I've seen. And what you're describing is kind of the mentality of someone who feels like they have to do everything, be everything, take care of everybody else. And it's very common. I've been there. And it's almost like we release that need to fix everything and do everything, because otherwise we're all headed towards burnout. Again, I've so been there myself, because I want to take care of everybody, do everything just right. And when we kind of release those tendencies and just show up, do what we can today and leave the rest, and sometimes tell people, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't do that, or I can't help you, which is counterintuitive to those of us who are helpers. But that's where the burnout happens, when we're overextending ourselves. And I'll just tell you, there is real evidence with especially breast cancer in women. It's like the organ that's the nurturing organ of our body. And on a metaphysical level, a lot of women who've dealt with breast cancer are very nurturing and over, they take care of people very well, but they don't take care of themselves. And so just hearing you say burnout, I would say pause, spend time quiet with the Lord, maybe go in nature, maybe take a hot bath, do things to nurture your soul. And really, you almost have to do that first so that you can pour out to other people around you, because that's a very real thing for probably 90% of our listeners.
So good. This dear one says, I believe God's calling in my life right now is to get to know him more and spend time in his rest, to learn how to listen to him and practice obedience, but also to take care of my family. That's beautiful. She says, I have Hashimoto's and celiacs and right now battling histamine issues. God is healing me, but I have some symptoms that have my doctors stumped. Any advice there?
Oh boy. So you're in that realm of autoimmunity and also this mast cell reactivity, which is so common. As our environment becomes more toxic, there's more and more people in post-COVID that have this activation of the mast cells. It's almost like the assaults on our system are creating more and more. Those mast cells are supposed to react and protect us, but they can get overly aggressive and cause illness in our body. So what I would do is think about, like you've probably already done, clean air, clean water, clean food, and try to go back to the very basics of the kinds of inputs in your house and in your, maybe check on air filters or water filters and just making sure you're getting the best food that you can. And those things can help a lot. Adequate rest. And then, you know, basic antihistamines, even things like natural quercetin, nettles, or Chinese skullcap. Those are some of the herbs that work very well to kind of calm down that mast cell activation.
Very good. Just got a couple minutes before our break at the bottom of the hour. So if you need to pick this one up on the other side, you sure can, but we can give her a little bit before the break. The Lord has me engaging in practicing musical instruments and back into people's homes and teach music again. Good for you. Biggest challenge physically is obesity and mentally and spiritually clinical depression. Those are my biggest challenges, to be ready to serve God in this capacity. So kind of the tension of dealing with obesity, some depression, but engaging in some creative expressions of music. What, any thoughts there?
Oh, first of all, I love that you're sharing your gifts and talents with people with a musical ability and all of that. And the second thing with obesity and weight loss, you know, people often think it's just diet and exercise. And I think this often is a much deeper inflammatory or toxic issue. So sometimes before you can lose weight, you have to look at detoxification, because the body will hold on to fat tissue to dilute the toxic load. And it's really hard to lose weight until we do the detoxification first.
You know, I want to say I know a couple of people personally who didn't even realize that they had mold toxicity. And once they detoxed, lost all kinds of weight, just like you're saying, before my very eyes, where they were disciplined, they fought hard, they couldn't lose it. And once they addressed the toxic load, it just, like, the weight just fell off. So that is super important. And I'm sure you see that more often than not, huh?
Absolutely. Exactly. Mm.
Wow. All right. We'll pause here, but we're talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan. We sure welcome any health and healing questions, but we've received so many texts as I pose the question. It's a twofold question. What is your God-given calling right now in this season, and what's your greatest health challenge? We've got quite a few people who've responded, so we're just addressing those. But if you've got questions, I'll watch for those as well, and we'll tackle those. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan today. You know, the reason I wanted to connect these two is because the enemy is so often going after our identity and our purpose, because that's his greatest threat. If we get a hold of who we are, of whose we are because of who God is, and then we get activated in our purpose, and we say, you know what, no demon in hell and no physical challenge going to keep me from living out my purpose, I'm telling you what, mountains start to move and things start to change. So don't let your health setback keep you from the full purposes of God. Rise up, get a little feisty, get your game on, get going, and see what God will do. You'll be amazed at how he's willing to work in and through you. More with Dr. Jill Carnahan in a moment. You make all things new. You make all things new. Oh God of mercy. had to let that song play out. Susie Larson here for Susie Larson Live. Dr. Jill Carnahan's my guest today. She joins me every month, and today we're making the connection between your purpose, your God-given purpose, and your health challenge. Because if the enemy can keep you from knowing who you are, from understanding the implications of whose you are, and the fact that you are called, he will do whatever he can do to dismantle your purpose, because that's his purpose. He doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose. And yet so often, you know, our calling really does stem from some of our greatest struggles. So my twofold question for you is, what do you sense is your God-given call, at least right now in this season? And what is your greatest health challenge? Got a number of texts that have come in. If you just got an everyday health question, go ahead and send that as well. Dr. Jill is an MD and a functional med doctor. That's a rare blend and a rare find. And she's a strong, believing woman of God. And so we're so blessed to have her. Here's the number you can text, 877-933-2484. So, Doc, the friend that texted in about being diagnosed by a functional med doc with mold toxicity and Lyme and deals with orthostatic hypotension and the dystonomia, I don't know if I'm saying that right, and the tinnitus, she said, what kind of detox do you recommend for mold? What do you say?
Good question. Because as we mentioned to the right before that break, is often something like mold toxicity will cause you to gain weight. You can be doing all the right things and you're stuck and you feel like, what is going on? So as we mentioned, detox is the first way. There's some real basics. First of all, like we said, clean inputs, clean air, clean water, food. And even if you can't leave the situation, at least getting air filters, opening your windows, trying to do the best you can to get air. It is hard to do a real thorough detox if you're still living in a place with massive mold exposure. So that may be like bailing out a leaking boat and you're making a little progress, but two steps forward, one step back. So that's the first thing, is trying to get away from exposure to the best of your ability. The second thing is enhancing your body's production of glutathione. And you can actually take glutathione or do glutathione IV or sublingually or liposomally. However, there's people out there like me that do not tolerate glutathione, and you can also do precursors, so you don't have to do glutathione. Things like N-acetylcysteine, R-lipoic acid, milk thistle, selenium, even vitamin C, and amino acids like glycine and glutamine, all of these are helpful in having your body make more glutathione. So that's another way that you can do it, is give your body some precursors. Glutathione is your master detoxifier, and so you need glutathione in order to get rid of the toxic load of mold. Then the other thing you want to do is you want to use some sort of binders. Binders can be clay or charcoal or chlorella, and there's others out there. Humic and fulvic acids can do that as well. And these binders will actually bind the bile acid with an electrostatic charge, which contains some of those toxins from mold. So mycotoxins are the toxins that mold produces, and they can actually accumulate in your tissues and in your body. So you're trying to mobilize those toxins from the tissues and from the liver, and then remove them from your body. So making more glutathione and binders is really at the core of that process.
Mm-hmm. And Jill writes a lot about that. If you want to check her out, just search for Dr. Jill Carnahan, Dr. Jill Health. You can, again, look for her on YouTube. You'll find different messages that you can kind of unpack. But it is interesting about the glutathione, because those who know about it say, oh, absolutely, that is such an important element. But those who know more would say not everybody tolerates it, and you know, at face value. So Jill's one of those people. I'm one of those people. But what's so interesting is you – Doc told me to start with the precursors that you were mentioning. I did great with those, and I felt better on those. So I do think it's so important to understand your body and to understand just that there's just not a one-size-fits-all for everybody. Anything else you want to say to that?
Yeah, so Susie, I love that you said that, because it is, so many patients are like, well, I should do this, or I'm supposed to do this, and they get so sad or frustrated, because like, how can I get well if I'm supposed to do glutathione and I can't? What happens is, if we have a lot of oxidative stress in our body from a toxin like mold, we can oxidize glutathione, and it actually does more harm than good. And Susie, you and I probably experienced that. Even something like oxygen, which is vital to life, if it's oxidized, it causes reactive species, and that causes damage. So you really, I always encourage patients to listen to their bodies, and if they don't tolerate something, there usually is a workaround or some alternative. But just because there's a should or a one-size-fits-all doesn't mean it's right for you individually.
So good. This dear one says, my greatest challenge, she says, is a prolapsed bladder. Already had surgery, but it prolapsed again. Have to have surgery again this fall. Don't lift heavy loads as an older woman. We remodeled our bathroom in 2020 because the contractor couldn't come during COVID. She said she was very careful. This is totally unexpected. That's got to be so discouraging. Any thoughts on that one?
That is so difficult, especially because you've already been through surgery. Sometimes people just have more proneness to injuries or tissues that don't hold up. And of course, if you've had childbirth or other trauma to the pelvic floor, you're going to be more prone to that bladder prolapse. Certainly in this case, there's not a supplement that'll fix that. But so I would probably move forward with surgery if it's significantly impairing your quality of life. But you could do things that would help repair your tissues, like vitamin C, B vitamin, collagen, biotin. This all helps our tissues. So some of the basic nutrients and things can help you not only recover from surgery, but have stronger tissues. And if you're a woman that's menopausal, you may need some vaginal estrogen. That'd be, of course, talk to your doctor about the safety and the type to use with that. But that often helps those tissues maintain integrity in women over the age of menopause.
Very good. This dear listener, she says, purpose, loving big, especially the three-year-old little one that she cares for and her aging parents. So she cares for her aging parents and a three-year-old little one. Must be an extended family member. Biggest health challenge right now, stage 4 lung cancer. Question, what is your number one way to lose weight? Counting carbs, calories, eating healthy. So excited for today's show. I love when you have Dr. Jill on. What do you say?
Oh, bless you, sweet listener. When I first want to mention love, oh my goodness, if you don't have a purpose and you're like, oh my gosh, everybody has a purpose but me, love is a really easy one to have. And I think we all claim just loving. And you know, it's funny because we all want love and we want to be loved to the world. But my life really changed when I just focused on, God, how can I become the epitome, the manifestation of love to the world and to the people I meet? And instead of focusing on getting love, I focused on just being love. And it's still a work in progress, but it transformed my life. So if you are lacking a purpose or unsure of it, being love is so easy and so aligned with who God is. So I love that, dear listener. You mentioned that in your weight loss. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of counting calories. I am much more a fan of, because what we realize nowadays is it's not about calories in and calories out. It's so much more complex. So it can be very confusing and you can be restricting a lot. And it also is about hormones and about thyroid and about adrenals and about, so I would recommend checking in with a functional doctor to get the very basic hormone panel, thyroid panel, and adrenal panel at the very least to make sure that you're not super high or low cortisol and that you have enough of the basic hormones and that your thyroid's regulated, because all of those things, if you don't have those in place, you can do all the right diet and exercise and it won't work. Second of all, find out for your body type and your stage of life what's best. When I was younger, I ran and I did a high intensity exercise. And then after 40, I realized that was raising my cortisol. I needed to do much more gentle walking, hiking, and weight training, and it works a lot better for me. And each person is different. And then as far as calories, it's actually more about the macronutrients, so the combination of fat and protein and carbs. Some people do very well on a ketogenic diet of high fat, and they basically burn ketones for fuel. They burn fat instead of sugar. If you're prone to diabetes or metabolic syndrome or your blood sugar's off, that's usually a really good way to go. But then other people, they don't do well with that and they need more carbs. So for example, if you're pregnant or if you have adrenal insufficiency, you're not going to do well restricting carbohydrates. So those are just some examples, but there's certainly no one size fits all when it comes to weight loss.
Oh, thank you for that. Okay, this dear listener says, what, if any, connection have you made, in your opinion, between breast implants and autoimmune diseases? That's a great question because I've read different articles on that very topic. What do you say?
Yeah, and I wrote about this too, Susie, because so many women were asking. Now, does everyone who has implants have issues? No. So this might not be the case for everyone. But for many women, whether it's saline or silicone implants, the saline implants still have silicone shells, and that silicone can shed off into the system. And we literally can check DNA and see that sometimes these toxins have inserted themselves into our DNA. This is actually a real blood test in Germany called DNA Addox, and you can actually see the toxicity of some of these substances. And what happens is it changes the inflammatory response of our body, and again, if you're susceptible to that. And for some women, that can induce an autoimmune response because the body's like, wait, this tissue doesn't look normal. There's silicone here. And so the body tries to attack it, and it may be tissue from your thyroid or tissue from your neurons or from your gut, and then you might develop an autoimmune disease. Now, again, not everybody has that, but I've seen it not uncommonly be a part of the picture of toxic load and autoimmunity.
Wow. All right, here's one. Love your input, Dr. Jill, since you're both conventional and functional med doc. I'm wondering if there could be a natural alternative to Coumadin for a congenital heart condition for a mechanical heart valve. Just want to make sure we've covered all research available before my husband has to make a commitment with open heart surgery right around the corner. Yes, my hubby and I have a purpose. It's to go and make disciples as marriage mentors and with our neighbors. That's amazing. You're facing this major deal, but you've got your purpose before you. I'm very inspired by that. What do you say to Kathleen today?
Oh, and I love it too. And I love when your partner or your family can be part of your purpose. That makes it even a more powerful thing, I think, sometimes. So this is difficult, and I want to be clear. I know, Susie, you said this, we're not giving medical advice, because this is one of those, there's a few situations medically that we have to be incredibly cautious, because the risk is high if you are not, if your blood is not thin enough, of having a clot or a stroke or a heart attack. So this is one of those situations that to not be on Coumadin is a much, much higher risk than just to not be on glutathione for mold detox. So I want to say that, because you absolutely want to talk to your doctor. Right now in conventional medicine, there are not a lot of natural alternatives that would be acceptably as far as how thin the blood would become. So you'd have, again, talk to your doctor. This is not an advice to skip the Coumadin, but a couple things I can say. Number one, there's newer drugs that work just as well as Coumadin that are not as many side effects. So I would talk to your doctor about the newer alternatives to thin the blood that are not Coumadin. Number two, there are wonderful things that can thin the blood naturally. Once again, I'm not suggesting these replace Coumadin, but these can help. And if you're on Coumadin, you would absolutely need to check with your doctor before taking these. But they are fish oil, garlic, ginkgo, and even things that open blood vessels like pycnogenol or pine bark extract can be helpful. Again, this is a tricky situation, so you absolutely get your doctor's advice before proceeding. But there are things that can naturally thin the blood and maybe aid in this process.
Thank you, and thank you for that qualifier. All right, this dear one says, many years ago, I had hemorrhoids after childbirth. 6 years ago, I had thrombosis hemorrhoids after lifting something heavy. Dealt with hemorrhoids on and off and on since then, sometimes for months at a time. I've tried supplements, ointments, simple hemorrhoidectomy done at the doctor's office. I've seen many doctors trying to get answers. Each one says to take stool softeners. It's not the problem, though. Now I have another thrombosis hemorrhoid. Any ideas what else to check out for long-term hemorrhoids before I have another surgery?
Oh, bless you, listener, because this is such a tricky thing. It's so painful and uncomfortable and even hard to talk about sometimes. But when you're dealing with hemorrhoids, you're dealing with vascular, like the vein integrity. So at a root cause, first of all, you nailed it. You said stool softeners aren't getting to the root cause, and I couldn't agree more. They might give you relief, but you're not solving the problem. So when I think of, and this could be varicose veins, it could be hemorrhoids, it could be anything where the vein integrity is compromised. First thing is that check your gut, get a functional doctor to do a stool analysis, maybe organic acids, because sometimes dysbiosis, which is just abnormal overgrowth of bacteria or yeast in the gut, can contribute to those problems of hemorrhoids or fissures. Second thing is things like horse chestnut can help vein integrity, and you can actually take that as a supplement, and sometimes it really, really helps because that's one of the root causes. Third thing is there's a particular tick-borne infection can also be transmitted by cats and mosquitoes and spiders called Bartonella, and this may not be the case for you, but some people find that that is at the root cause of vasculitis and vascular and vein inflammation, and that's a whole other ballgame and a whole different treatment needed, but you could have your doctor check you to see if you have that infection.
See, that's why it's so worth asking the question, because there might be options or possibilities that haven't been suggested to you yet. And I pray God really makes a way. And I actually pray God heals you completely from that trial that you've been through. My goodness. When we come back, we're going to answer a few more questions here. But one that came in, how do you detox after the damage done by alcoholism? And I'll give the broader context of that text when we return. But after you've done damage to your body for over a decade of over-drinking, how can you get your body restored? Or can you? We'll talk with Dr. Jill about that in just a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. I don't have to search hard to find you. I don't have to reach far to touch you. Standing in miracles. Wherever I go. Never want you to lose hope, friend. God is always busy and active on the earth, and he's searching the world over, looking to find faith in the hearts of his children. And I know what it is to go so long without a breakthrough that you start to lose hope. You start to look down more than you look up. But that's why we're here every day, to help you look up, because he's smiling at you. He sings over you. He loves you. He's for you. Today, my friend Dr. Jill Carnahan joins me today to talk about health and the healing process. And we're answering a lot of questions. When I say we, I mean she, but also we're connecting your purpose to the health challenge that you have, because the enemy so wants to go after your God-given purpose. And sometimes he'll attack our health to cause such despair that we give up on even thinking we have a purpose. But, you know, Lord told me a long time ago, you don't have to feel well to be mighty in the kingdom. And I want to feel well, and I'm going to contend for feeling well, but I'm not going to let not feeling well keep me from all that God has for me. So we've got a number of questions that have come in. I hope we can get to as many of them as possible before the end of the hour. But this one is so precious. She says, bless you, Susie, and your guest today. Love your tender heart towards the Lord Jesus. I've been on my knees in prayer for my younger sister struggling with relapse from alcoholism. She started drinking at age 14, is now in her mid-30s. She went through a Christian-based rehab program, graduated, and 2 years later relapsed, which brings us to today. I'm still loving her, bringing the Word of God to her ears each time we speak. My question is how to get her physically healthy from the imbalance alcohol has caused, both in her brain and her body. Thank you so much. Please help. We love your show. What do you say, Doc?
Oh, bless you, and bless you for wanting to help her. And I love your compassion. I can hear, dear listener, your compassion for her, because so often we throw addiction into a category of judgment, and we say, this is bad, and we, you know, do whatever kind of things that our society does. And the truth is, addiction can be work or overeating or alcohol or drugs, but all of them are the same. And I think all of us at one time or another had some tendency, or maybe even, you know, gossip, which we don't think of as. So to me, there's such a deep compassion for any addiction, because it's only maybe a misguided way to deal with difficulty, trauma, or fear. And so I love your compassion, first of all, for her. And that's the way to heal, to love her unconditionally in that place. But this really does damage the body, and it's a very real thing. Two things that come to mind. Number one, neurotransmitters, the things that our body makes to help us feel good and happy and balanced, like dopamine, norepinephrine, epinephrine, and acetylcholine. These are critical with addiction, because if they're imbalanced, we often go to things or substances that will make us feel good and restore those tendencies for imbalance. Now, I believe prayer and meditation on God's word can heal those, but there's also things like a functional approach where you measure them and then you replace the things that are missing. And there's real power in that replacement and addressing the neurotransmitters in addiction. So I would find a functional doc or a doc trained in that if she's willing, and that would really help. Number two, how to restore the damage. Things that come to mind here are B1 or thiamine is very commonly deficient in alcoholics. So she'd want to restore her B vitamins, especially thiamine. And then liver damage is also very common. So things like tocotrienols, which is a derivative of vitamin E, have been shown in studies to restore damage done by alcohol or fatty liver disease. And those are two core things that might be helpful.
Wow, thank you. I agree with Jill. Your love for your sister and your continued compassion for her is amazing. And Lord, I just pray for this sister. I pray, God, that she would come to the end of this drinking road, that she would hate it as much as it hates her, Lord God. And she would get a vision for her life, and she would get the will do and want to contend for the purposes of God in her life, that she would make a massive U-turn. And God, that she would rise up and her enemies would be scattered. And I pray for a miraculous restoration, not only in her physiology and her all the way down to her cellular blueprint, but in her brain and in her thinking and her relationships and in her God-given purpose. We all agree together. We lift her up right now and ask you, work wonders in her life. Make hers a miracle story, Jesus, and connect her with the right people at the right time to give her the help that she needs. And I pray that this dear sister who've done so much to help her sister out of the ditch would stand there and watch as you work a miracle in her life. We pray this in your precious son's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometimes we spontaneously pray on the show. All right. Where do I find a functional med doctor? And does Dr. Jill take new patients? Three questions in one text. Where do I find a functional med doctor? Do you take new patients? And how can I lose belly fat? You can answer all three or two of the three or whatever you'd like.
Got it. I love it. So thank goodness more and more doctors are interested, and there's several groups that train, and you can actually look there and look by zip code and search for your area. And you can find anything from nutritionists, chiropractors, naturopaths, medical doctors. So you might want to pick if you want a specific type of practitioner. And then if you look at the IFM website, it's Institute of Functional Medicine. They're one of the premier training organizations. It's just ifm.org, and you can search by zip code, and you can get one who has the certification, and that would probably be it's a higher level of training. It's just functional medicine certified. ICI is another group that deals with mold and environmental toxicity specifically. So you have another level of training with those environmental toxic stuff. And that would be ISEAI for International Society for Environmentally Acquired Illness. And then thirdly, if you really have an issue with Lyme disease or one of those tick-borne infections, ILADS, it's ILADS. com. Those are three groups that train doctors. They're all nonprofits, and you can search for doctors there in your area. Mm-hmm. And then how do you fat loss? Often this is that hormonal thing too. So if it's postmenopausal, you may have too little estrogen or too much of other cortisol. So I would check your hormones because it's not going to be sit-ups, unfortunately, that fix the belly mm-hmm. fat.
And what's so interesting is when folks do get their, when women get their hormones checked and they find an imbalance and address it, I mean, I hear so many stories of people saying, I feel like I'm 10 years younger. I feel like my life's been transformed. So that's a test worth taking, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I would start at the very basic on a lot of these questions with basic labs and hormones.
Mm, very good. And there are even some lab companies and clinics that you don't need a doctor's prescription. I don't know what you think about that, but I've seen advertisement for some basic panels. What do you think of that?
Yeah, more and more you can get direct-to-consumer labs that do either blood work or things like the cortisol is usually 4 points, so you can do urine or saliva. And I absolutely think it's great to get information in the hand of the patient. The only problem is if there's something wrong, you need to be able to go to somebody to help you figure it out versus worry and not know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. All right, this dear listener says, how to best help her 18-year-old son move forward after a concussion from 3 years ago. He feels like he can't make progress or overcome challenges. What do you think about that?
Oh, this is tough because, gosh, it's more and more common concussions, and they can lead to long-term disability in some people. This is where you'd want to get a neuropsychologist or some center where they would do imaging and then either neurofeedback or there's a lot of different things that can be done post-concussion and even supplements that have helped the brain, like acetylcholine, herpazine, ginkgo, and phosphatidylcholine. They've even done some studies with both fish oil and progesterone. So it's a little bit complex to give you one protocol, but there are a lot of specialists. And at that young age, I would absolutely try to find someone who's specializing in post-concussion injury and get him evaluated.
I would also imagine, not a doctor, play one on radio, but I would imagine when you have a young person as well, how drawn they are to carbs and sugars, and that setting a cascade of inflammation in their body, not helping, I'm sure. I know that's hard to get young people to cut back, but how important is that when you're still dealing with the effects of a concussion 3 years later?
Yeah, I didn't even mention diet, Susie, but you're right on. Like the very, very basics would be an anti-inflammatory diet, which would be avoiding highly processed foods. And especially sugar would absolutely, and alcohol would be ideal.
Mm. Hopefully this is a quick answer. Do you recommend bioidentical hormones at age 60?
So this is not really something of age particularly. And what we keep finding is even post-breast cancer, which is a very high-risk situation, many times replacing hormones at a physiological level is more helpful than harmful. And again, this is a little bit higher risk area, so you'd absolutely want to talk to your doctor. But I would say a 60-year-old who wants to have optimal brain, heart function, optimal weight, hormone replacement is perfectly acceptable option.
Hmm, wow. All righty. Well, we are just about out of time. I wonder if I can pull this one out in just a minute. Thank you both for this powerful ministry. My 29-year-old daughter recently developed stomach aches, oily skin, hair, headaches, and has gained weight. She's on a combination pill. She does have a history of mycoplasma bacteria, has two young children. Wondering what if there are steps she could take or things she could try to help her feel better. You got about 45 seconds. What do you say?
You got it. Though what comes to mind is PCOS. I don't know for sure. I'm not making a diagnosis, but I would check this out. That's polycystic ovarian syndrome, and it's usually defined by excess androgen, so the oily skin, proneness to acne. It causes a metabolic issue that's almost like a prediabetes. So often there's weight gain and insulin resistance. So if that's the case, have a doctor check her for that. She could do a low glycemic diet and low carbohydrate diet to prevent the insulin resistance. And the birth control pills, those are actually, sometimes they will help, but if it's the wrong type, it might not be the best solution for her.
Wow, I'm impressed you did that. Dr. Jill, thank you for the time. I pray God replenishes everything you poured out for us today. And friends, I pray you look up because God's smiling, he's singing over you, and he's got a plan and a purpose for you. So get your fight back and let's contend for the promises. He's got a purpose, and you're living and breathing for such a time as this. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.